This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So last week, Randall, we really had a terrific show with Kevin Randall because he's a reality check kind of guy. He rechecks everything. He chases footnotes. He updated us on, of course, the things that work and didn't work in terms of Roswell evidence. Gave us a reality check on hypnotic regression. He's always a fascinating guy. We're always happy to have him on. I think once or twice a year.
I think he was really happy to be on, too. You know, like, he seemed very enthusiastic, and he's still very busy in the field. So, what can you say? I mean, he's the guy is an icon in the field. I think, you know, despite his relationship with Stanton Friedman, that he really is the guy to step into those footsteps now. I think he's kind of the foremost authority on the subject.
I remember someone giving the title, I think it was a comedian, the world's foremost authority. So that it reminds me of that. And he would go on the Tonight Show and everything else. And, of course, it was something that was actually intended as a joke. But in terms of UFOs, I'd say Kevin is it. He's the guy. He's the guy who knows everything. Well, a lot of things, anyway. Just also coming up is the 5th anniversary, by the way, of the Paracast Plus. So I want to mention that very briefly. We started this in October of 2014. And time flies when you're having fun. With the Paracast Plus, we offer the enhanced version of the show free of the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast, exclusive to Paracast Plus members. And it offers color commentary, special interviews. And we always say, you never know what's going to happen next because we don't either. We've been featuring weekly updates from William Puckett, a UFO investigator with the latest sightings. For more details, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Now, today, we're going to talk about a book that covers somebody who was an old friend of mine. Let me tell you the story. And then we'll get Brent Raines in to amplify what he knows about this. So back in 1965, I was alive then. I was going to school and also working with Jim Moseley of Saucer News at his office at 303 Fifth Avenue. Like I said, this was years ago. I remember we work in this tiny office, and there was a diner right across the street where we'd have dinner every day. And he'd always order the same thing. He was a creature of habit, I guess. And one day, this guy comes in there, and he says he's doing an article. I recall it being Playboy. And there's no one around to correct me because Jim Moseley's not here. And the guy who came into the office that day is no longer here. And that was John A. Keel. Now, I didn't think much of it then, but within a few years, John Keel was this guy giving us some of the most unique thoughts about UFOs and related phenomena. Brent Raines, obviously, that's the introduction here. Why did you choose to write a book about him?
Well, Gene, John Keel was the reason I got as intensely involved in all of this UFO phenomenon. I mean, I got interested back when I was 14 in 1967. And at first I was very simple focus. It was either nothing to it or else they were extraterrestrial. And Keel soon was offering some unique perspectives, alternative theories. And I began to write to him in October of 1969. And I started out as a teenager having a little mimeograph newsletter called Saucer-itis, and he had his newsletter called Anomaly, and we would exchange magazines or newsletters. And he also would give me thoughts and write letters. He even wrote me one time in 1971 a 3-page letter, single-spaced typewritten, which really surprised me. And, of course, I ate it up. I mean, I was just at that time a real fanboy of Keel. And he had such an influence on me that a couple of years ago I thought, well, you know, I've really followed in a lot of the areas that he suggested and recommended, and I thought it would be good to do a book and follow up with as many people as I could who had known him and, you know, reintroduce, because it was a time where people were starting to actually forget who John Keel was. After the Mothman Prophecies come out, he was interviewed by Art Bell, and Art Bell claimed that he, you know, where had Keel been? He didn't know about him until the movie came out. Anyway, I thought this would be an interesting thing, and I began to write to Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who knew Keel, and recommended different people I should also interview for the book. And she helped me tremendously with getting it all straightened out, you know, correcting my errors and making suggestions. And it was very, very helpful. And she recommended I interview people like Michael Grosso, who is a PhD in philosophy and classical Greek literature, who, you know, got his degree from Columbia University. And he had known Keel, had talked actually at Keel's 14 society meetings back in May of 1988 in New York City. He felt that Keel was very much on the right track. He'd had UFO experiences himself, precognitive dreams, and some sort of a haunting-type experience. And he was, as well as other people, of course, Rosemary Guiley knew Keel quite well. She had similar ideas about the phenomena when she met Keel herself, and they would meet in New York City, have lunch, and she was a member of his 14 society. And then there was Dan Frazin, who was a film producer. He actually went with Keel to Point Pleasant back in 1967, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where the Mothman, all these UFO and MIB-type events were occurring, what Keel felt was a window area. And I located Dan Frazin a couple years ago and did an interview with him, which is in the book. He has continued to explore the paranormal. He's come out with a documentary, which is out on YouTube, called Calling Earth, which deals with the EVP phenomena, electronic voice phenomena, and also instrumental communications, where maybe TV sets come up with images of ghosts, spirits, or maybe aliens, which is certainly something that Keel used to write about. And also I did an interview with a Swedish researcher, Håkan Blankovits, who is still active. And when Keel visited Sweden in 1976, he met with Håkan and a number of his friends at Håkan Blankovits' apartment. And he introduced me to Aki Frazin, who has since passed away, but he wrote me some letters, and they did an interview, Håkan Blankovits and another researcher, 2 years before the Mothman Prophecies was published in 75. And what he did was he came over to the United States, came to, got a letter of introduction from Keel to go to Point Pleasant, and he interviewed about 30 witnesses himself to the Mothman phenomena, spent several weeks in 1969 and 1970, and also got to know Mary Heyer, the Athens messenger stringer, and who had an office right there in Point Pleasant and figured prominently in Keel's Mothman Prophecies accounts. And so it was really wonderful to go ahead and present this background, some unique things that has never actually come out before, and other people's perspectives. And also, because I was so influenced by Keel, to present cases I investigated that tend to line up with the things that Keel was also pointing out.
We're going to break now. The book is called John A. Keel, The Man, The Myths, and The Ongoing Mysteries. The author, Brent Rains, is here. And when we begin our second segment, I'll mention a few times over the years that I encountered John Keel after that initial meeting at the Saucer News headquarters. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And I took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let's just go to the late 60s and early 70s when I had a magazine called Caveat Emptor, kind of a offbeat paranormal and counterculture magazine. And, of course, Kiel had this wacky sense of humor. And he would write me these wacky, wild letters that we publish in the magazine. Then around 1975 or so, I was in New York City looking for some new opportunities and planning to move to New York or New Jersey. And I rung up Keel, and we spent the afternoon at his apartment. At that point, I ran into him a number of times in the late 80s and early 90s, the New York Fortean Society, where he and Tim Beckley hung out. We had Whitley Strieber as a guest one time. And I'll give you the story about Whitley just very quickly, and we'll go on to John Keel. And that is, during that speech, Whitley, this is like the late 80s, says that amongst the things that happened to him, there was a particularly intense tax audit. Within a few weeks, I got a letter from the IRS auditing my tax returns. They were simple. We resolved it. There was nothing there special. It's just that weird synchronicity, not the kind I wanted. Any case, we started, David Biedney and I, the Paracast in 2006, and I suggested, hey, let's bring up John Keel. We figure he's getting on years. Let's get him on the show. So I have his phone number. Tim Beckley gave us his phone number. And David, living in New York, called Keel, who promptly hung up on him and said, how dare you have this number? And he flipped out, and I think he called Beckley and chewed him out. He was rather irascible over the years, but much more so in the final years of his life. Alas, we never had the chance. In any case here, obviously John Keel influenced you, Brent Rains, heavily. But where did you start with a book about this?
Okay. You know, for a moment, I thought we were in the bubble, so to speak. Okay. Just talking. All right. Then the idea, I've been working on, you know, interviewing people, doing my own little survey of experiences and noting the prominence of people who have had, you know, describing contact experience, and also throughout their life having a lot of paranormal events, just as Keel had described. And as Rosemary Guiley said in her foreword, it seemed like a lot of these people were sort of, Keel noted, were wired differently, more prone to encounter experiences with these beings or objects. And she always felt that he was one of those people, too, and had sort of an antenna tuned to the frequencies of parallel worlds or whatever, alternate realities. So I got to thinking that this would be a good book since, you know, Keel had influenced me. Tell about him, about his life, and about the influences that he created in the UFO field worldwide, introducing his ideas that weren't real popular at that time with the mainstream ufology. But years later, I think today his ideas, concepts, his information would have been better received. But they were certainly at that time, you know, you had NICAP that didn't want to hear anything about beings really in the craft coming out of it or missing time. And so it's a different atmosphere now. You got people talking about quantum physics and about the paranormal, about consciousness. So I thought about writing a book about my own research, and I thought, well, why not just incorporate all of this together, make it a book, John Keel, The Man, The Myth, and certainly The Ongoing Mysteries. And so I took that opportunity to try to reach out to people who, including Tim Beckley, who knew Keel, and get a little more insight as to, you know, what his thoughts were from his writings and talks that he gave and to people he interacted with and how it influenced them as well. So certainly I've been at this for almost 53 years now. I know you've been at this longer than I have, Gene.
You see, we are both entitled to gold watches.
Yeah, that would be nice. I could use a watch right now. But anyway, I thought this would make a good book, and it seems like it is generating a lot of interest among a lot of researchers who a lot of people seem to want to know more about Keel. There's a new generation that's come along that hasn't really heard that much about him.
Well, I think you make a really good point here, Brent. Like, this book came out in July of 2019. But for our listeners, who didn't know, and you've just mentioned it, you've been active in ufology since about 1967. So, I mean, you're talking over 50 years, involvement in other books, newsletters, interviews, the ufology community in general. From everything that I've seen, when I was doing my pre-show research, you come across to me as one of the more level-headed and understated members of the community. So, you know, I'm really hoping that people will pick this up and read it and also look into some of your earlier work as well.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Randall. I know that a lot of the areas that Keel approached and that I've immersed myself in sound woo-woo. But, you know, Keel actually was doing things that I don't think a lot of the mainstream picked up on that should have, like his research into these Barham clouds experiments that were being launched from Wallops Island, Virginia, that I know in October 4th, 1967, I thought we maybe this was the UFO invasion we were all waiting for. You know, I lived up in Maine at the time, off in the southern sky, me and a lot of our neighbors were outside looking at these big clouds of luminous light, different colors. And it turned out it was just a Barham cloud experiment, and that Keel later wrote in his Anomaly. Of course, the magazine, popular magazines, didn't really care about all this, but he was wanting to inform fellow UFO researchers that we have to be aware that some of these UFO flaps are being caused by these high altitude rocket experiments where they're testing, see the magnetic fields, how they line up out there, and learning more about the atmosphere with these experiments. He also delved into like ball lightning, how many times ball lightning, like lightning itself, will actually, instead of going from the sky to the ground, will actually go from the ground to the sky. And that might account for some of our reports of spherical luminous objects shooting up into the sky. Instead of being a flying saucer, UFO, maybe it was ball lightning. I know in one of his letters to me, he commented on lightning that Socorro, New Mexico was a place where at that time, years ago, was being studied because of all the unusual lightning activity that they had there. So he was pretty, trying to come up with not only alternatives to the extraterrestrial theory, but also very mundane natural explanations or logical explanations for some of these that didn't involve just the woo-woo stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, we're going to get into more less woo-woo stuff with Brent Rains, talking about John Keel with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney may have muddied things up when it comes to President Trump's impeachment inquiry. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy believes Mulvaney made things clear at his press conference on Thursday.
There was no quid pro quo.
Fellow Republican Congressman Francis Rooney doesn't see it that way at all.
It's certainly quite clear right now that the actions were related to getting some of the Ukraine to do some of these things.
In other words, Rooney says it appears there was a quid pro quo, which is the very issue that led to the current House impeachment inquiry. Career diplomat George Kent told congressional investigators Rudy Giuliani asked the State Department to grant a visa to former Ukrainian official Viktor Shokin, who Joe Biden had pushed to have removed when he was vice president. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Again, the book is John A. Keel, The Man, the Myths, and the Ongoing Mysteries. Brent Rains is our guest on the show with Gene and Randall. And I'll just mention something here, too, and maybe you can amplify in this. I'm sure you follow it through. He also offered an alternative explanation for Roswell.
Yes, the balloons, Japanese Fugo balloons there. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did he come by that? What was his justification?
You know, some of the early newspaper accounting of Roswell from 1947, when that story first broke, were descriptions of items, objects that sounded very much of a balloon character. And there were those balloons after, that the Japanese sent over back during the World War, you know, after World War II. And there were lots of them, I guess, that they sent aloft and was hoping would land somewhere on the West Coast and cause fires, cause trouble for us. And so he thought that that might have been an explanation to consider for maybe what was recovered at Roswell.
Yeah, we got into that a bit last week with Kevin Randall. And, of course, I don't think today that anybody would believe that it actually was one of those balloons or even one of the Mogul balloons, for that matter. None of those explanations seem to stand up. But I've got a bit of a separate question here for you, if you don't mind. Your book is John A. Keel, The Man, the Myths, and the Ongoing Mysteries. What are some of these ongoing mysteries? And I presume that you mean mysteries that have endured in his absence into the present day.
Right. Continuation of the contact phenomena that he investigated, the continuing of the paranormal UFO aspects among the experiences, having both experiences, being repeaters of those experiences. I know at one time being a repeater in the UFO field was like the kiss of death. Hynek, back in the 60s, would have said if they've said they saw more than one UFO, then it's likely that they're just someone who's overreacting to lights in the sky, Venus on the horizon, or things like that. But then, of course, certainly with Bud Hopkins, Whitley Strieber in 1987, their Communion and The Missing Time and Intruders, Ufology took a turn and said, oh, well, maybe sometimes those repeaters are people who are having reoccurring abduction experiences or something of that nature. And, of course, this is what Kiel was trying to bring out back in the late 60s, that there were – he had interviewed – he wrote in Operation Trojan Horse over 200 people who had claimed to be like silent contactees, people whose stories weren't yet out in the open, publicized. But he had connected with them, probably a number of them, from a True magazine article he wrote early in 67 about occupants. And he claimed about six mailbags came into the editor's office, and he went to retrieve them later. And many of them had stories of contact and missing time, which he said at that time a lot of magazines weren't publishing that kind of material. And he estimated in Trojan Horse that there were perhaps maybe as many as 50,000 experiencers here in the United States. Of course, now today we have a lot of people speculating about the high numbers. We have the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Extraordinary Experiences, where they did this survey of people claiming contact experiences, UFO contact, and then also developing a statistical profile of the high numbers of paranormal experiences that they also claimed. And so a lot of researchers now are looking seriously at the whole UFO PSI interface. And that's something that I've been interested in looking at. And so this is the ongoing part of the ongoing thing, that, and of course his interest in cryptids and the idea of the quantum physics, which he used to tell people, that told Doug Skinner that his was a very simplified version of quantum physics, because now we got people coming out more and more with lots of speculation and experiments where they're trying to prove the idea of different dimensions, string theory, and so on. So there's a lot of discussion on all of this. And so I thought, you know, in this book that I would try to package all of that up and put it out there for readers to kind of ponder and think about.
Now, one of the things that was interesting was that book, UFOs Operation Trojan Horse, especially beginning with that book, where you began to talk about ultra-terrestrials.
Right. And, of course, he said, you know, I understand he got that ultra-terrestrials was a name that he got from Ivan Sanderson, the Scottish-born zoologist who was also interested in Bigfoot and UFOs and had his own nonprofit organization there in New Jersey that had a newsletter and everything that studied anomalous phenomena. He was a 14, as well as Kiel was, a follower of, you know, the writings of Charles Fort, and was interested in a variety of unexplained anomalous phenomena. And they were even planning to originally write Operation Trojan Horse together. But somewhere along the line, they didn't quite agree on how it should be written. So Kiel just, I think, took over that project himself. But anyway, it, well, okay.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, okay, so maybe there's another universe where UFOs are coming from. That's a possibility. In fact, that's my favorite possibility, because it is a possibility. Scientists are taking it seriously now that there could be other universes that perhaps these aliens have found a way to traverse them. On the other hand, we've got arch skeptics Seth Shostak, who I believe now is one of the head people at the SETI Institute, who now feels that given our rate of development in finding and acquiring data about exosolar planets, figures that we're going to discover intelligent life in our own universe within the next couple of dozen years. and this is a recent statement that he himself made on a special documentary film. So that seems to be a pretty big turnaround in the scientific community. Like, we already know they're here, okay? But still, that's a pretty big turnaround in the scientific community.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's been lots and lots of things happening in the last year or two. I mean, you know, you've got the statements at the Pentagon, and, you know, someone who worked in this program has come out and is revealing that they took the whole UFO thing quite seriously. They thought that maybe this was a threat indeed to national security, which for years we've been told UFOs weren't a threat to national security. So the whole thing's been turned around now, and we're hearing that the Navy is says that there's a reality to this phenomenon and taking it seriously, and wants their people to report this their sightings, their experiences now. Certainly a different Navy than I was involved with back in the early 70s.
Oh, you were involved in the Navy?
I was in the Navy back from active duty 72 to 74. And, you know, we had people on the ship that thought they had seen UFOs. Even a quartermaster was on the bridge, was sharing with me, and he showed me the written report where they had seen between us and a ship, we were aircraft carrier that we were, you know, doing escort with off the coast of Vietnam, had seen a ring of lights.
What were you on, a destroyer?
I was on a destroyer escort, USS Paul DE 1080, which has since been sold for scrap metal overseas. But
we've got these scrappy announcements, by the way. Isn't that a bad segue? Don't say less anything, bad. Brent. Gene and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen.
oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Brent Rains is being a gentleman. He's not going to say anything about my segue. Let's go on, Randall.
Yeah, we were just talking before the break how you were serving in the Navy in a destroyer group. And now this is something we didn't run across in your bio, and that you had heard accounts of your fellow crewmen or from your fellow crewmen about sightings within the Navy. And anyone, have you yourself seen anything?
We were off the coast of the Carolinas in, I guess it was the 73, and I came up on the fantail, the back of the ship, and there were crewmen saying that they were watching all these lights. And, Brent, you want to see a UFO? They're out there now, you know, because everybody on the ship knew that I was interested in this subject. In fact, I had a John Keel book that people used to borrow to read. Sure enough, there were some lights that was zipping around. I couldn't tell, you know, what they were. I know there was one that was coming along, going one way, and there was one above it going the opposite way, and the one below it suddenly did like a big U-turn and came up close to the one that was above it and then flared up real bright and then just disappeared. Don't have any idea what that was for sure, but I've always wanted to get one where it landed, it was a big disc, and I could go over and, you know, kick the hubcap, so to speak. The most unusual thing I saw was a natural phenomenon. I actually saw St. Elmo's fire one time when I was up on the forward lookout over the bridge. And I heard this buzzing sound, and I noticed on this pole in front of me that there was this little flame, bluish light. And this was where this buzzing sound seemed to come from. And I thought, huh. And I held my hand out, opened my fingers apart, out into the wind. And I had these little flames coming off my fingertips. And in a short while, it started to rain. And as soon as it started to rain, these lights and the noise, it all extinguished. And then I, you know, realized, well, that was St. Elmo's fire. Because I went below deck to tell, it was, met a lot of my fellow crew members in the chow hall, and I was telling them it was at night what I had observed, and they were telling me I was full of, you know, something I can't say over the radio, but I said, no, this is a natural phenomena, guys. I know what this is.
No, that's a real thing. Yeah, they used to say that the same thing would happen with aircraft, and that that was perhaps an explanation for the Foo Fighters back in World War II. And of course, that doesn't explain them sufficiently, especially when some of the crew had seen what looked to them to be like metallic spheres. The St. Elmo's fire doesn't look like a metallic sphere.
No, you wouldn't expect it to. No, that's for sure. Yeah, Gene, I was just remembering when you first described at the beginning of the program Keel and how you met him in 65, and he was going to write an article for Playboy magazine. He went to the Pentagon, spent about 2 hours with an official down there who represented Project Blue Book, and the guy gave Keel what Keel felt was the whole party line that he probably gave to all journalists and reporters who came in there, and tried to tell Keel that there was nothing to it, and it was a waste of his time. And Keel told him that, well, he knew there was something to it because he had seen one of the things himself, which I guess he was referring to the metallic-looking, disc-shaped, domed object he saw in Egypt back in 1954. Anyway, Dr. J. Allen Hynek ended up getting the Playboy story. He didn't get that, but he was still at that point deeply interested in UFOs, and that's when he ventured through 20 different states and interviewed hundreds of witnesses himself to gather information to figure out what was going on, and that's when his controversial ideas and theories evolved.
Oh, I think I'd definitely be interested in that Playboy story. Yes, one I'd like to add to my collection.
Yeah, I've never read it myself, but I know that Dr. Hynek got the assignment. And interestingly, I met Dr. Hynek at his home back in September 72. And I brought up the name John Keel because I knew that Keel had said that in the beginning, Valley and Hynek ridiculed his ideas. But I was surprised when Dr. Hynek told me that he was actually quite impressed with Keel's ideas, although I don't think he said that much publicly about that point of view. But
well, that's because Hynek and Valet, they had to keep themselves sort of inside the box a little bit more in order to maintain their credibility, because, of course, Hynek, he was a consultant with the Air Force for a number of years, and you want to maintain that sort of status. There's a cachet there that gives the person credibility, and I think he was concerned about that credibility and maintaining it. And
right.
I think maybe privately he was more open to some of the stranger things. And then, of course, Valet, he got into some way out stuff there after a while, where he started getting into dimensions. And that's where actually I think Valet started to lose me a bit, because, and even Valet himself has done a bit of a turnaround on some of that.
Right. Keel used to joke that he became Valet's ghostwriter.
Yeah.
He actually came around to a lot of similar ideas he had. And Keel said that, anyway, Keel said in the beginning that Valley had, given him kind of a rough time over some of his ideas and concepts. But over the years, they began to resemble one another quite a lot. But Keel always said that his theories that seemed so woo-woo to so many, that's all that they were. It was speculation. And he just felt that it was the closest that, seemed to fit the facts as he saw them. But he said that there was no way to prove that he was right. And, but he certainly noticed a lot of correlations that suggested that there was a deeper, more complex and perplexing element to a lot of this than what the mainstream nuts and bolts crowd was allowing for.
Well, yeah, he also seemed to me to be kind of approaching demonology and its possible connection with UFO sourcing.
Well, he certainly felt that there was a trickster phenomena to it, and that they didn't. I asked him one time in a phone conversation about the we were talking about Marian apparitions, which he had studied quite a bit of, and the similarity to contact experiences, and he felt that they ended up sour too. That he felt that the whole phenomena didn't have our best interests at heart. And so even the positive spiritual stuff, he just felt that the angels and the demons, the devils, they were all in cahoots together, along with the fairies and the air elementals and everything else. All these beings were just, it was just a frame of reference that they were all part of the same phenomena. And he felt that they were tricksters, because I have a good friend who's been deeply involved in Native American studies, shamanism. He's written an encyclopedia on Native American mounds and earthworks and such. And he was telling me that, you know, and he studied John Keel too. And they felt that, that really to the Native American and other cultures, the trickster could also be a teacher. And, it could test you to see what your motives are and your intentions and to, test the accuracy of your perceptions of your direction, your quest. And, if you failed and you just stayed where you were at, but if you kind of could catch on to what was going on, you could go to a higher rung of the ladder.
Well, this is really interesting because, it reminds me, and it seems to fit right in like a puzzle piece with this idea that Valet had about the idea of a control system. Like, some methodology or the way that the aliens were interacting with us in order to rearrange human worldviews. So if it, yeah. And
yeah, that's, it, you know, it's, yeah, that's part of the, you know, again, the similarity between the theories that evolved with Keel and Valley, it does, seem like they were looking at similar ideas. Valley wasn't quite so onto the negative aspect of it as Keel became. And in fact, I learned as I was working on this that, that Keel had told a number of people that, in the story that's told in the Mothman prophecies.
I tell you what, let's do that update in our next segment. Okay. So we'll refer to what Keel said there, and I want to also look at the more negative aspects of, you know, the doppelgangers and the Men in Black. More to come, focusing on John Keel with Brent Rains, Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.